Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
What a wonderful week for another radio show, the Chatterbox video game radio show, in fact. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And so we do this show here every week at KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Go over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about our show or participate in the chat that happens during the show. I guess a chat could really happen anytime, not just during the show, but certainly the only time I look at it is during the show.
Yeah.
Rich is manning it right now, watching what's going on. Once he connects to the Intertrons. And we're going to get to our weekly discussion of the gaming. Now, last week we talked about, I failed a little bit to sort of bring up the concept of expectations and hype, essentially, when it comes to the game industry and how people, marketing, makes games to be, you know, the next greatest thing ever, you know, bigger than the shuttle launches and stuff. And I use Metal Gear Solid 4 as the next upcoming example. And of course, it's come out since last week to this week. And we finally got a chance to play it. I picked it up on Sunday, went home, and pretty much spent my whole day after watching Hulk in the theaters.
Awesome movie. Yeah.
And then you spent the rest of the weekend watching Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, so Sunday in the morning, go see Hulk, pre-matinee, $5, baby.
Which, by the way, and I can say this unequivocally without having seen Hulk.
Better than The Happening?
Better than The Happening.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee it.
You know why?
Because The Happening sucks?
Because it has the Hulk in it.
No, because everything's better than The Happening.
Really?
Was it really that bad?
I actually wanted to see it, but Ara said it was not
it was,
good.
It was worse. Like, I thought that The Fountain was the worst movie ever.
The Fountain? What's his name?
This is worse than The Fountain just because...
The Fountain wasn't that bad.
Just because it doesn't have an ejaculating tree.
Okay. But, like... In comparison to M. Night Shyamalan's other movies, like The Village, better or worse than The Village?
It's worse than everything. It's just worse than everything.
Because The Village was, like, pathetic.
The Village is like a pièce de résistance compared to this. Okay?
All right.
It's like, I don't know what kind of world this guy lives in, but it neither operates on logic nor continuity nor consistency.
Okay. So... Go see The Hulk if you haven't, because it's awesome.
So there's 30 seconds of movie review time on Chatterbox.
And back to games.
All right,
go.
So finally we got the chance to play it. And I did ask people to sort of email us and tell us, what are your expectations in terms of your expectations? Like, you know it's coming out. Do you think that it's been overhyped? Do you think that you're going to be satisfied when the game does arrive?
Are you okay, dude? Done.
I think that's picking up in my microphone.
I muted my mic. I heard that through my headphones.
Nicely done.
Yeah. I'm drinking root beer.
All right, so...
Tasty.
Anyway, I finally got the chance to play it, and I'm playing through, and it looks nice and all. It didn't surprise me. Maybe because we've seen so many trailers, it
and
doesn't
all.
Look so...
All that effort and passion put into the game, and you can just say, and all.
It looks really good. It honestly does. Like, the feel of the game is really good. Like... There are other games, namely Crysis, which I've been playing for about 2 weeks, that look better than it. So it's kind of like, oh, that could have been done better. But then at the same time, it's like, well, compared to anything else on the PS3 right now, it's the best-looking PS3 game without a question.
So it certainly looks good, and it tries to draw you into the story and everything. And the problem is, with me, I always talk about how gameplay is really important and the ability to control your character well. And it's not the easiest game to control.
So how is it different from the previous ones? Because I like to give... Metal Gear Solid series as a good example of what not to do with the controller interface. And this will kind of like partially segue into this thing that we were talking about before we started, but we might not talk about it.
So
later,
it's not that after playing for a long time that it's still hard to control. Like, you do pick it up. there's still some things that are dumb.
Here's the interesting thing about it in general, right? And I haven't played 4, so I'm just going to make this up and assume it's the same way, so tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay, whatever. Continue.
But it's like when... Okay, there's basically like two phases to the game, right? You're either getting chased or you haven't been seen yet, right? So the controls are really complicated, right? So like when you haven't been seen, it's fairly like I think reasonable for a player to be able to be competent with the controls, right? But once you get spotted, I don't know if you guys do this, but every person I've watched, including myself, invariably you're still going to start fumbling with the controller in ways that make you screw up, or you just decide not to do moves that require multiple button presses and holds, mm-hmm. like most of them do. You'll just, like, run away or something.
Yeah.
And that was one of the biggest shortcomings in my opinion.
There's definitely a high learning curve on just all the different things that can be done. But you know what? I prefer that because I prefer a game that allows me to do a lot of things.
It took us, like, 3 hours to figure out how to, like, grab somebody from behind and choke hold them.
But that's because
which
they
should be a single button press.
They didn't have a training mission. For all intents and purposes, they basically had no training mission. They basically taught you how to crawl in the first little stage, but that was about
it. They give you a 30-minute cutscene and say, walk over there, and you do it, and then they give you another 30-minute cutscene, and they say, you have a gun, equip it, but they don't tell you how. It's not, like, automatically in your inventory. It took us probably another 40 minutes to figure out you have to pause the game, go into your weapon inventory, and then equip it to one of the slots.
Yeah. Well, it's frustrating because you have a whole list of... Well, you have an area where weapons would be.
Yeah, but it doesn't go there automatically.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know it doesn't teach you some of the essentials.
Kojima doesn't need to be bothered with this minutiae.
Oh,
but at the same
right?
time, once you get past that, it's fine. And I'm okay to accept not having a training mission. Games didn't used to have training missions. They only came to be later in the 3D era when people realized that nobody was paying attention to instruction manuals or going through separate training areas. Like, there is a whole virtual whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Virtual training.
Which is really weird because it's just a plane with, like, green guys standing there.
They're orange, but anyway.
Well, it doesn't really matter what color they are.
Well, if you're going to mention the color, then it matters.
Well, I was guessing, all right? It's some solid color, and it doesn't make it sense.
All right, so you can learn how to... my point is, bottom line, big learning curve. But once you're past that curve, okay, now you know how to do what you need to do, but there's still some concerns. And it does a lot of stuff really well. Like, the threat circle, I think, is fantastically done.
That's spiffy.
I think it's really well done. And... that's this thing where basically, like, okay, guys are aware of you, so there's this white circle around you, but it's not a perfect circle, right? It's just sort of, it's hazy in the direction of the people, and then waves in the circle are created in the direction of the person who's aware of you, or rather, one of the people who's somewhat near you. The closer they are, the bigger the wave, the more people, the bigger the wave, and there you can have a bunch of different waves on the circle, and it's really difficult to explain in words, but if you saw it working, you'd think
it makes
cool.
Sense.
It's very intuitive once you understand. Well, that's a bad explanation. I can't say it's intuitive once you know
well,
what it means.
Everything is once you figure it out,
but
right?
No, like
once you understand
sense.
It, it's very easy to derive the information without getting in the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds pretty cool.
So I think that was very well done. What I don't like is, for instance, you can skirt up behind someone who doesn't know you're there, right? Get real close and then aim your gun at them, and you say freeze, right?
Right.
The guy stops and he throws his gun away, and
you don't have to say it in real life.
Yeah, right. But you can
freeze.
Your guy says it though, and then you can pat him down and take some stuff, and then you grab him by the balls and make him go to sleep.
Yeah, you pass
you
him.
Really grab him by the balls.
You grab
yes.
him by
you
the
pat
balls,
him, pat him,
and
pat
go,
him, pat him, and then you grab him by the balls.
And then he passes
squeeze.
Out.
Is there like a detailed like bulge around that area?
It's not that detailed.
It's not that detailed.
It's more of a bulge.
But it's very clear that you're grabbing him by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to sleep. So all of that is nifty, but you never know when you're close enough to be able to do the freeze thing. You could be walking up and try it, and it won't do anything. You can walk up closer, and then all of a sudden you hit him.
Yeah.
And then he knows you're there. And
you have to be that close?
It's like,
really
it's really
close.
Weird.
See, this is funny, because you could do that in Metal Gear Solid 2.
It was way easier in MGS
2. Yeah, that wasn't an issue doing it
like,
then.
Like, it's difficult in this game to do it, because either there's one person standing by himself, and it's like, am I close enough? No, okay, a little bit closer. Oh, too close. Or there's just a bunch of guys everywhere.
Can't you, like,
you
hold
it
up
it.
And just, like, walk toward them? With
no,
them?
That's the thing.
No.
You have to be not pointing it and then start pointing it.
Yeah, that's kind
yeah,
of
it's really weird.
And so another thing is, like, the collision with things is a bit rough. So you walk, you hit something, you bounce back, and suddenly you've got this default time when you can't do anything. So let's say you do walk into him. Well, you can't immediately knife him. Or even, like, it's too long. Is my point. So you end up getting in a fight with somebody, they're kicking you, and it's very difficult to fight back. And maybe they did that on purpose, so it wouldn't be such an easy game. But at the same time, it is really frustrating.
Or maybe they just
you don't understand why.
Completely ignored it and didn't pay attention.
I don't know. I have a feeling a lot of details were reviewed in this game over and over and over, but things like that bug me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about this and actually talk about emotion and immersion into games and the evolution of that over time, using it as an example. And we'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
And you know how much we love callers?
So especially, much. You want to tell them how to call?
Especially the ones that like to argue. So if you're like really, really angry and pissed about like why there's no gameplay in Metal Gear Solid 4 or why Hideo Kojima's racist, you can call us at 866-536-1100. I'm just trying to incite people.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
That's fine
by
journalism.
Saying,
for
by saying
you.
Ridiculous
Believe
things.
It.
That's what they teach you at journalism school. They teach you to be racist and to call other people racist.
You know what's not realistic, Ara?
What's that?
Well, I should have said not what was the word you said? Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That's the word I meant.
Oh.
I didn't mean to say realistic. What's
Good
not
one.
Ridiculous?
You could also say recoculous.
No, I was going to say, what's not ridiculous is that you could go to uat.edu to learn about the University
That's
of Arizona.
Totally
That's not realistic at all.
Do you see how that would have gone very badly?
That's neither realistic nor ridiculous.
All right.
No, one thing I wanted to mention real quick is you were reading an email off the air before the show started.
Yes, I was.
And this guy was like, oh, one of the things I like about Metal Gear Solid is of its surrealness. And all I was thinking about is, you mean how none of the story makes any coherent sense whatsoever?
Well, yeah. I think he might have been talking about all the cool stuff it does that other games don't do.
Yeah.
It is the story. It's tough because I play the game.
You watch it.
I play through the game when I'm playing it, and I want to keep playing because I'm interested to know what's going to happen next. Yet,
because
I always
you have
look,
no idea what's
I
going
look back on.
On
it, and I think, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, now,
at any point in time.
Okay.
I want to ask both of you a question.
Yeah.
Have you played through Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Both
All
of
the way.
You, yes.
That's
yes.
the only
okay.
other Metal
Here's,
Gear Solid game I've played, actually.
This game, okay, that game in particular, specifically its narrative, destroyed something very, very important for me.
Uh-huh.
And that was my ability to actually have genuine curiosity about what will happen next and what will resolve in a story. Because when you got to, like, the latter, like, 10-20%, no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Sort of.
I don't know. Like, there was, like, lolly lula lo and, like, what's going on here? There's a Pentagon and there's some other people. And it's, like, it was – it's – I don't know. It's just, like, let's just grab all these things out of, like, history – and somehow, like...
Mash it together,
but make no attempt whatsoever to do it with any coherence.
Yeah.
So, you ever hear that movie, I think it's called Changing Places with Eddie Murphy, right?
I heard of it, yeah.
The whole premise is that these two really rich guys make a bet that they can ruin some guy's life, and their bet involves a single dollar. Anyway, that's the premise. That's sort of how it starts.
Where are we going with this?
It makes me feel like Hideo Kojima, decided, like, what's the craziest stuff I can put in the game and still make a AAA title that everyone will want, but make totally friggin' crazy?
Yeah. Well,
like,
well, he does
name
have,
something lolly lully low.
Yeah,
in the game.
Well, he does have a reputation for that, and I think that that's actually, like, interestingly enough, that, like, that kind of stuff, and I'm not just talking about the weird vowels, you know, just, like, the little kinds of, like, things, the details that he puts in there, I think that... that's what people appreciate most about his games. And the funny thing is that, like, things like that are largely, like, context independent. It's like you have this big, like, wrapper of a AAA game or whatever, right? But then it's like what people enjoy most about it are all these, like, weird, like, idiosyncratic things.
Like where you can camouflage as a statue and grab the statues next to you as junk.
Yeah.
And then you look like a statue.
You snap off his
And then you break it off.
Stuff.
Like, that was like, And everybody thinks that's really cool, and I'm kind of like, yeah, that's funny, but, like, I'm supposed to be killing people.
In number two, I keep on mentioning number two because that's the one I played the most, but, you know, the pictures in the lockers.
Oh, yeah, there's Playboy in this one.
When you're Raiden, you know, you can, and you're on that table, and you go and, like, you go back on it, and then, like, it shows you a shot with, like, a Coke can covering your junk, and, you know, I don't know why he has so many references to that sort of thing, but.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, though, Alon, like, what do you think of MGS so far? Like, good or bad? Like, better or worse or the same as what people review it? Like, do you think it's living
up to
the reviews?
To be honest, I haven't read any reviews, but as I understand,
basically, they're
all like,
it's getting like 10 out of 10. Basically, it's the perfect game ever created.
I would never rate this game as perfect because the gameplay isn't actually that interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I think everybody that's been reviewing this game is just retarded, giving it a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10. I don't think it even deserves a 9 out of 10.
I would go 7.5.
I would probably say 8.
Maybe 8.
Most. 8 at the absolute most. If not less than that, because the actual gameplay part of it is not very good at all. Like, the game that's interesting, that makes me want to keep continuing, is basically the movies part of it. It's just watching it.
Which is funny, because you keep complaining that there's such long cutscenes.
Oh, I know. I complain about it because I want to play a game, but then at the same time I'm thinking, well, this is the only good part of it. If they just made Metal Gear Solid a 50-hour movie, I'd watch all of it. I would watch the entire Metal Gear 1 all the way through Metal Gear Solid 4 as a movie and just watch the entire storyline.
You know, that's a really interesting point, and I think we've touched on this before. Like, there's this one time when I was watching somebody play Silent Hill 4, and I make this comment, right? Now, this is at one of the old studios I used to work at, and we're all, like, watching one of our friends play this demo. And so I make a comment while I'm watching him play. I go, wow, this is really cool. I wish I could just watch this and not have to play it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some guy next to me was like, oh, this is stupid. But, like, if you really think about it, right, if you look at these two, like, halves of what most gameplay experiences offer, I shouldn't say gameplay, what most games offer is that, you know, you have this narrative and then you have this, like, video game part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, games that are so strong in the narrative portion, that part is so strong that you don't want to be, like, challenged at the same time. It's like,
oh yeah,
I mean, it's like plot in porn movies. They're so disparate, these two activities. Seriously, in character,
yeah, yeah,
they don't really fit together in any way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's why all the time we just have games with, you know, watch a cutscene, play some game, watch a cutscene, and, like, one of them invariably ends up being a nuisance to get to the other one, which is better.
Yeah,
there's actually one part in this, and I'm going to explain the interactivity in the briefings, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I really liked about this, and I didn't play as much of it as Rich got to play, but during these mission briefings that happen before, I guess, every act, this is what Rich is saying, before every act, there's these briefings, probably like a half-hour cutscene.
Mission briefings.
Probably like a half-hour cutscene, like, realistically speaking.
Yeah, really long, huh?
Yeah.
So long, you just got to take a bite of that cheeseburger.
So listen, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, probably 20, 30-minute cutscene here between Act 1 and 2.
Okay.
But in the game, at any point, you can drive around, like, this tiny little robot thing called the Mark II. And you see from its point of view, and you can go, like, attack people and whatever with just one attack. So anyway, it has some function. And then during these cutscenes, you can watch what's going on in the cutscene, or you can switch to the Mark II. And so you have two video screens, one of the main cutscene and one of what the Mark II is doing. And you can, you know, roll around and go do stuff and even collect items that are in this scene area, which you wouldn't be able to get if you chose not to do that, because once the cutscene is over, you're no longer in this area. So it lends a little bit more. Like, in the scene that I was watching, the one that I did, I guess Rich did more than one.
yeah.
You watch, at one point, Otacon and Snake are there, and they're in, like, an airplane or something, and they're learning about this briefing. And they're receiving a bunch of information by watching a video on the computer in the scene, right? They're watching on everything's a Macintosh in this game, by the way. There's even an iPod that you can use during the game, which is funny.
Is it obviously, like, branded?
No, it says iPod brand. iPod. You even roll it around, like, it's got a scroll wheel. It's,
yeah.
All the menus are the same.
So, yeah.
Side issue. So, anyway, they're watching on their Macintosh computer inside the game. So you can, but sometimes it'll show their faces instead of what's going on the screen. Meanwhile, it's all actually happening in the scene. So you can scroll around at the Mark II and see what's going on that screen all the time. Or you can go look at some girl who's cooking eggs upstairs. Literally, right?
Yeah.
Or watch the map or whatever. So you can get a different view on it. So it's a different idea of getting different. You know how, like, some DVDs, you can different viewpoints or whatever?
Yes. Which ended up being used for nothing other than pornography.
Nothing other than porn, yeah.
Yeah.
But theoretically, this option exists. And so, keep laughing. Go ahead.
Continue.
Okay. So I just found it really interesting that it made what's normally potentially boring scene a little bit more interesting, because you get to control it, look around, and still be getting that information, and choose how you're getting it too, because you can switch which video screen is showing what. And
no, this is that's definitely cool. That's definitely very cool.
It's cool the first time.
You think it's boring the second time?
Well, no, you do it three more times, or however, I don't know how many acts there are, but you basically do it every time, and your entire mission is get a battery, and then that's it.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I thought it was really neat the first time,
mm-hmm.
and that's some of like the extra stuff that they put into the game that is different than not just other Metal Gear Solid games, but other games in general. And so, anyway, we're at the break. We gotta go. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
Are you enjoying yourself, Alon?
This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Where Alon likes to rub his chest.
You know, I do that too, but usually when I'm alone.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic. Chatterbox Video Game Radio, we're back. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to join in our chat, or feel free to call us at 866-536-1100. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to keep him on hold for a few more minutes.
Oh, owned.
When I said I wanted to talk about immersion and its evolution over time, what I was thinking about is basically like Shenmue earlier. Back in the day, I remember when all the hype was coming around for Shenmue, they talked about how detailed it was going to be and how much you could do, and it had some of the quirky stuff sort
and
of things.
How immersive it was?
Yes, and how you get a lot of emotion because of the lip syncing in the game.
Yeah.
And you know, so the advance of graphics and the advance of fluid motion, making things immersive, and then Metal Gear Solid.
And the retardation of gameplay correspondingly.
Well, a lot of games, Metal Gear Solid 4, I don't know if it's the best example for this, a lot of games have become really fluid and had really good graphics. And I'm wondering, I see this happen over time, I want to keep playing Metal Gear Solid 4 for the story, even though I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm being drawn into the game? And what are some other examples of very immersive games, right, where I really feel like I'm in the game?
Okay.
I know Aura hates the term immersion.
I got to do this preamble because this is going to color the entire conversation.
Purple?
Maybe purple. Here's my question to every single person who uses this word immersion to talk about video games. What the F do you really mean?
Just mean that...
bringing you into the game.
My suspension of disbelief is on
full
charge.
I do not accept that as a complete definition or the only valid definition for this reason. There's a lot of different senses of immersion, okay? When you're doing a certain activity, especially a video game, a lot of people use the word immersion to talk about like, oh, you should forget that you're playing a game. You should believe that you're Metal Gear Rex. Like as if like anyone, like you really have that minimal mental faculty that you're gonna forget that you're in a room that you're actually like been like transported into this game world and you're really there without
PS9.
Drugs. Are
PS9.
You kidding me? Okay, so like not only do I question that as even like something that can be achieved, but I would question that.
Oh,
as something that
be.
You even want to achieve.
Oh, yeah.
For this very reason, that some of the games where I would say I was the most immersed in have, I would say, the least realistic graphics and the least realistic premises.
Mm-hmm.
And so immersion can happen, I think, on different dimensions and different senses.
See, this is a great potential discussion. So I was trying to think back of games, you know, way back in the day, 2D stuff and 8-bit NES, maybe even Atari 2600. Like, what sort of games would you consider very immersive?
You don't even need to go that far.
Other than Super Powerball or
obviously,
that.
You know, the
Pong.
The first
probably the
no,
most
no,
immersive
come on.
Game ever.
No, come on.
I really care what happens to the ball.
Come on.
Like, who's going to get the point?
For example, right, when you guys are playing, this is the best example I can come up with. When you guys are playing something like Guitar Hero or Rock Band, right, music games are really awesome. You guys get into, when you're doing really good, right, you've all had this moment, you've all experienced this, where everything is just like flowing, right? Everything is just like,
yeah.
You can hardly consciously keep up with what you're doing physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely Dance Dance Revolution had that going on.
Sorry. Yes. Okay. That is, that kind of like state of mind is actually, you know, has been written about and scientifically studied. It's this one famous author whose last name is really long and I don't remember.
No.
He wrote a book called Flow. Look up a book called Flow. That's really, really cool. And he basically talks about this state of flow where you're basically in like this optimal performance state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's called hypnosis.
No, well, you're not really hypnotized, but it is kind of like trance-like in a lot of ways. And the way that I like to describe it is that you're just like, you're just so in tune with something that your conscious brain can't keep up with the faster, less conscious parts of your brain.
Yeah.
And you just get this really cool feeling. Like sometimes when I play shooters, I get that feeling. This is why I like to play a lot of action games, right? Where I'm just like, I'm doing things. And I'm like looking at myself doing it, and I'm like, did I really effing do that?
Oh yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I really effing did that. And it's like your skill at that point, like actually like supersedes what you think your own capabilities are. You know? And you know what? That kind of emotional state is way, way more immersive than any effing story, any kind of narrative, any kind of oh I forgot I was playing a game type of thing that I've ever experienced.
Yeah. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Shooters especially in I think with me, it happens with Tetris a lot, where it just gets faster and faster, and then you're just like, you're just playing Tetris, and you're just playing it, and that's all that's happening, and you have no idea what's going on, but you just got like four Tetrises in a row, kind of thing. But yeah, but like, no, like in an action kind of game, where you're just like, holy crap, I just threw a grenade and got six headshots in a row, jumped off a cliff, and then shot two more guys online, playing against all these people, and you're like, I'm never going to do that again in my entire life.
Yeah, it kind of makes you like kind of like want to touch yourself.
Yeah.
A little bit. So this is great. So we look at a game that's probably intended or thought to be very immersive and very emotionally touching and connected, right? Like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Right.
It's the opposite of flow.
There's a huge disconnect.
It's the opposite of flow.
Because there's this breakup in the cutscenes and the playing.
Yeah,
and
it's just
because
it's like, hey, watch a movie. Okay, now go play the game.
Well, let's
to get to the
let's
next
remove
movie.
The cutscenes from it, right? Let's imagine that it's all just
then
just
the game
play
would be
time.
Crap.
But I look at it and I think it still doesn't do a good job because of that collision stuff I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Where I was constantly restarting, constantly getting killed because I couldn't tell if there was a person who was even going to see me. I
yeah.
didn't have enough data to help me really play the game with some sort of fluidity.
Uh-huh.
Stealing your flow word, right?
It's allowed. It's actually mine. It's that other guy's word.
I just...
Yeah.
Just
Ara, you didn't invent it?
I didn't feel like the gameplay was very fluid. Disregarding the fact that it's broken up into cutscenes every, mm-hmm. you know, so often. And I don't want to make it sound like it's bad. I still enjoyed it, and I still want to go back and play it some more. I won't get the chance for another week and a half because I'll be gone next week. By
That's
the way,
shame.
Ara and Rich will be running the show without me next week.
Oh, it's going to be exciting.
Guys. Yeah, so please submit your suggestions for topics, and we will summarily...
Suggestions? We'll look at them and laugh.
Yeah, we'll summarily throw them away.
But it does mean that it might be a little while to get the data on the internet.
Yeah.
By the way, we might not have it up that night.
Might be.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But anyways,
the show.
Anyways, so yeah, fluidity.
You know what's ironic, right? The game called Flow, which purports to somehow induce this state, because I'm sure the people who made that game know about that book and that concept, and they somehow tried to... It's just way too slow to have any kind of real flow going.
The guys, Silicon Knights, making Too Human, that's one of the things, like, the head designers have been talking about with that game, is, like, flow and how, like, they want to achieve this. And apparently they worked with some psychologist, doctors or whatever, and, like, test subjects.
Right.
Play testers, I guess, and, like, trying to achieve this sense of flow in the game. And I hope they've succeeded
that's
in doing
interesting
this.
Because isn't Too Human primarily a narrative-type game?
It's narrative in that it follows the, all the Nordic, mythology.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's story heavy is my
point.
It's
story heavy,
yeah.
But it's also action heavy as well.
Okay, well, and then, like, it's funny because we all just pretty much agreed that, like, when you have that kind of, like,
narrative
and gameplay butting up against each other, it just totally ruins the flow.
But like, the way they're doing this game, I think this is a game example that I'm really hyped about, and I hope I'm not totally let down in this game, but... It's a game where the action, like all the story takes place like in game. You know, it's they do have cutscenes and things like this, but they're all interactive, and even more so than Metal Gear Solid, from what I've seen, where you get viewpoints from different characters, and you can still control your character to a certain extent in most, if not all, of the cutscenes. So it's something kind of like, I don't know what to compare it to, but because I haven't played it, I've only like seen it and like heard about it, so I don't know exactly what it's gonna be like.
Yeah,
but
maybe we'll save any further discussion of the game until
for what the game might
it.
Be. But yeah, so flow is a big
game.
Thing they've talked about with this two human game. So hopefully,
well, I hope it's not hot air because
I hope it's not either.
Because there's just there's so much crap that's spewed out when people are hyping their games.
Yeah,
that, like, you know, I don't know what to believe anymore.
But I mean, have you played what is it called?
Flow.
Eternal Darkness on GameCube?
A little bit.
That game was kind of cool.
A little bit.
That you might say was immersive.
Well, that game, it's by the same developers.
It reaches out and grabs you.
Where it does the thing,
and
like, oh, I'm sick
and
to the
UI
floor.
Elements, and UI elements do not destroy immersion, by the way.
What don't?
UI elements. On
User
screen HUD,
yeah.
Does
yeah.
not defeat immersion.
No, not at all. I don't think.
Okay.
Putting it out there.
You mean like me dancing
all
with
right.
arrows?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. We'll take a caller.
We totally forgot
a
caller.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, the Metal Gear Solid 4 edition. My name's Aura, and I'm out of breath.
I'm Alon, and actually, we didn't mean to make this the Metal Gear Solid 4 edition.
But it has
and
become
it's going to
so.
Be next week, too, and then the next week.
Okay, don't get crazy now.
Okay.
Right.
My name's Rich.
Before we continue talking about Metal Gear Solid 4, of course, I'm going to remind everyone about the University of Inventing Technology.
It'd be not realistic.
And heading over to uat.edu. To learn more about the programs that they offer in terms of your betterment in education.
Which everybody needs.
I thought we were going to stop doing this thing where we all say our names, and then we started doing it again.
Yeah, I'm happy to stop, man. People know who we are.
I like saying my name.
All right, so
you can say your name, but
we've got Scott on the line here.
Okay.
Fopo from the chat.
Hi, Scott.
Way,
I'm Aura.
People who sign up for the forum right now, I want to send this out as a reminder before I go away for a week.
Are we destroying them?
The forums are going to come down soon. Like, I'm not letting new people in. Nobody's signing up. They might sign up, but they're not posting because I don't let them. So,
except there was that one guy who like wrote that long, elaborate rant, and then one guy's like, oh, the hosts aren't even on the forum. They're never going to see this.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think there's going to be a return to the forums, but I'm going to try and have Rich run
them. We have
them.
To like redo the whole thing and then make it super awesome, but like not.
All right, well, enough of that. I just want to point out, don't bother signing up because I'm not going to actually give you access. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got Scott. Scott, you are on the air, sir.
What's
Hi
up,
guys.
Scott?
I'm Scott.
Hello. All right, yes, so I want to give you about 2 minutes because there's some other stuff I got to run through before the end of the show. What's up?
All right, the first thing I want to say is quickly, just before the break, it was mentioned that UI does not affect immersion. And that's kind of true, but there is a reason why they want to go and have minimalist UI.
Yes, because they're crazy, and they hate video games.
It's mostly because if you have a bunch of 2D overlays, it tends to destroy the 3D aspect, which kind of distracts a little bit from the graphics of the game, which is a major selling point.
Yeah, it is a major selling point, but what if you want to convey like important, precise information that helps the player play better?
Then you do it with a circle,
I think it can depend on
waves.
The game. I don't think that it doesn't not affect. Does that make sense? I don't know.
No. I understand what
effect.
I understand what you're saying, Scott, and that is really like the perennial reason why a lot of people are like, oh, we don't want to put too much UI on the screen. We don't want to like detract from our beautiful environments and stuff. But there's definitely a balance to that, and of course it depends on the kind of game you're making too.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some games that don't care about, like Unreal Tournament. They put all the HUD on the screen because you need to know kill counts, your health, and all that stuff.
That's right. I don't want to see a blood stain be my health bar. I just want to see a freaking health bar. Okay, sorry, I just had to put that out. Go ahead.
And secondly, earlier on you mentioned that about narrative and how either narrative or gameplay is going to end up sucking. It's invariable that one's going to end up like the other. And I think
that's the way it feels to me.
Mostly, like, it's sort of like a little parent-child type thing. It seems like video games kind of, people aren't sure if it's quite a movie or a board game yet, because board games are all about competitions, but now you see very few games with score screens anymore, really, and not all quite movies, because you have to have some interactive element in it as well, so they're not quite sure whether or not it looks mostly like the mother or the father, so they kind of try to go and fit it, but invariably it always ends up looking like one or the other. So I think it's mostly just because that they just aren't quite sure. I'm not sure if it's just because they're not creative enough to go and think outside the box. I know some companies are like BioWare, but I'm not sure if it's just that they just can't make a nice blend between the two parents, or if they are trying too hard and they end up making it look more like one than the other just by a personal bias. Or
yeah, well, I think I can give you what my pet theories are. I think that there's basically two main things. Like, one of them is that I do really believe that they are intrinsically opposed types of activities, and so that is just necessarily a problem. And the other thing, too, is real game design, really, really hard to do. We don't have the proper language for it yet. We don't have the proper kind of, like, way to do things for it yet. It's just too new as a medium. On the other hand, all the non-interactive aspects of games are much, much, much older as media, and so we're much more well-versed in implementing those. And I think that when it comes down to, like, when you're actually making a commercial product, you're like, okay, you got to get this thing out the door, right? So you do, you spend more time on things that you can do better, right? Which is, like, all this non-direct game type stuff.
Would you actually say, this is why I highlight one thing you said, would you actually say that the major issue is, well, one of the major issues is just we don't have the proper linguistics to be able to voice our what we actually are trying to achieve in a medium that's just so new?
Well, I wouldn't call it like linguistics. I mean, I just think that we may have, like, there may be a vocabulary for it. One may exist, right? But not enough people know it. And so for all practical purposes, it's not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ara's discussed this before. The vocabulary just isn't there for us to, I don't know, for developers to get together and really explain what they want in a game, because we mm-hmm. use the words like flow and immersion and things like that.
Magic.
But they don't actually have a real meaning
right.
when
they're,
it comes to game.
They're really vague, right? I mean, like, each of this jargon, even industry-wide jargon, everybody throws around these words and everybody means something slightly different, and everyone just assumes that the other guy means exactly what they mean when they don't.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason that the story and the gameplay are so different is also because usually a project has a single person who really defines it. In the case of Metal Gear Solid 4, you would say it's Hideo Kojima. In the case of Ninja Gaiden, you've got Tomonobu Itagaki, right? So you've got this one person behind it, or Mario games, or Shigeru Miyamoto. And so you've got one person who is passionate about something, whether it's the gameplay or the story or a particular message he wants to get out. He has one thing that he's focusing on, he or she. And it's rare, if I don't know if it's ever happened, that someone is both passionate and capable in the areas of both gameplay and narrative. I've never seen it really happen, where you've got really excellent gameplay on par with, like, Super Mario Brothers or I don't know, some other game with fantastic gameplay, and then also throw in this fantastic storyline that is more than just a copy of something that's already existed.
Half-Life.
I'd say Zelda actually be kind of close there, but not quite. I'd say Zelda would probably be the closest one I could think of.
Zelda, sure, and Rich is saying Half-Life.
There are very few games that accomplish doing both very well.
Still, you've got to admit, Half-Life, its gameplay isn't exactly different than a million other games that have come out for the last 10 years. Right? I mean, it is still a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's done very well.
And I think Bioshock is in there too, but yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say they did actually do a little bit of extra with, like, the physics and all that stuff, and they create the new elements, so it's not entirely just derivative.
Yeah.
For Half-Life.
I see that. I'm just saying it's not something that's...
I was just going to say it doesn't have to be new. It just has to be solid. I mean, Half-Life 2 doesn't have anything extremely amazing.
I just have
about
a really
it.
Hard time, like, giving someone bonus points for making good gameplay when it's a first-person shooter.
There are first-person shooters that still come out today that are very much lacking in any sort of decent controls. And then you have games like Half-Life 2 or Call of Duty 4 that have just really solid controls, even though there's nothing necessarily new about it. It's just done extremely well. Because you can still mess up a first-person shooter.
Yeah, I'm with you. Anyway, we only have 2 minutes left. Thank you very much, Scott, for calling.
No problem.
There was another topic that I wanted to touch on. I was kind of whining about this in between in between our segments here, off the air, I mean. So I got a million press releases a day all the time, and I never really mention them because usually they're crap.
Worthless.
But today I got one that is also crap, and that's sort of the point of my topic. So Konami sent a press release. I guess everything we've talked about tonight is Konami-related, which was unintended. So this is the headline. Konami launching official Dance Dance Revolution brand and community portal. There's so many things that make me mad about this. First of all, how do you launch a brand, right? Basically, you launch a game and it develops into a brand, perhaps by creating a series of games. They've been doing this for the last 10 years. As they point out, it's the 10th anniversary of Dance Dance Revolution this whole year, not a specific date. They're kind of talking out their ass when they're saying they're creating a brand. But whatever, maybe that means something. Why are you doing it 10 years after the game first came out and became popular? I think they're kind of missing the boat on this one.
I know why they're doing it now. It's because music games are finally becoming popular because of Guitar Hero.
Dance Dance Revolution was hugely popular before, and it's kind of dropped off in the last several years.
Not as big as Guitar Hero has become from a mainstream point of view.
No, that's
not
fine.
Even close.
Make a Guitar Hero portal.
Well, they're going to try to, but it's going to fail because there's already two other Guitar Rock Band game things. Anyways.
Well, Guitar Hero was the original.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Guitar Freaks I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway.
But it wasn't popular.
So there's also...
But it was
still
awesome.
Their website, DDR Online Community, not DanceRevolution.com. Nothing else to say. We gotta go.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.